Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, a special guest on the program, our brother and friend, John Lynch. Many Basic Gospel listeners are familiar with John. He is with True Face, a ministry with a stated purpose of restoring the original good news to marriages, families, leaders, and cultures that are looking for a cure from the deceptive snare of sin management. In fact, John is the author of the book, The Cure, which is a byline question, kind of interesting. What if God isn't who you think he is, and neither are you? John, welcome to the broadcast. It's great to have you again, friend.
Thank you, friend. So good, Bob. Sure appreciate it. Love being on here every single time.
Well, we love having you, John. And today we're going to talk about a very important topic, and that's the topic of depression. We've dedicated this entire month to addressing some of those emotional disorders that people experience. You know, for example, here in America, almost 40 million Americans suffer from anxiety disorders of various kinds. Almost 7% of the population are depressed. They are clinically depressed. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among teens. So this is a big problem. And we want to ask the question today, does the gospel speak into this problem? Can we find answers for these emotional disorders that so many of us are experiencing? And John, we couldn't think of a better person to help address that. You have been speaking the gospel message into this situation for so many years, and you have seen the power of the gospel really set some people free. And so we want to get your take on this particular subject today. I just watched a recent talk that you did on depression, and you had some very interesting things to say. There's a lot of folks out there that are suffering depression, some well-known people that we wouldn't necessarily think are suffering depression. Is that right?
Yes, I created a list. Abraham Lincoln, Georgia O'Keeffe, Buzz Aldrin, Woody Allen, Hans Christian Andersen, Halle Berry, Beyonce, John Bon Jovi, Marlon Brando, Barbara Bush, Johnny Carson, Ray Charles, Winston Churchill, Eric Clapton, Louis C.K., Ellen DeGeneres, Fyodor Dostoevsky, Bob Dylan, William Faulkner, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Harrison Ford, Ken Griffey Jr., Anne Hathaway, Ernest Hemingway, Audrey Hepburn, Billy Joel, Dwayne Johnson, Angelina Jolie, Soren Kierkegaard, Stephen King, Martin Luther, Lady Gaga, David Letterman, Michelangelo, Marilyn Monroe, Bill Murray, Isaac Newton, Conan O'Brien, Gwyneth Paltrow, Dolly Parton, Handel, Brad Pitt, J.K. Rowling, Frank Sinatra, Bruce Springsteen, Charles Spurgeon, James Taylor, Emma Thompson, Mark Twain, Robin Williams, Owen Wilson, Oprah Winfrey, Reese Witherspoon, C.S. Lewis. Pretty incredible list, isn't
it? Wow. It is an incredible list. And you would think that all of those people, just looking at them on the surface, just seeing them in, you know, the pop magazines or reading about them, that they would have had it all together. But that's not the case, is it? I mean, they suffered deep pits of depression in their lives.
Yes, it's almost independent from success or failure, isn't it? It is a condition. Sometimes, in fact, I wrote it this way in that last message. For some, it's temporary. For some, it's intermittent. For some, it's chronic. For some, it seems to have ended and then returned. For many, it's chemical or biological. For some, it's the result of chronic pain. For some, it's grief or loss. For some, it's the result of ongoing personal wounding. For some, it's the result of sexual abuse. For some, the result of inflammatory disorders. For some, it's the result. For many, it's the result of bad theology. For some, it's sleep disorders. For some, postpartum complications. For some, it's the result of unforgiveness. For some, it's the result of unremitting tension. For some, it's an innate fragility. And honestly, for many, there's absolutely no apparent basis. And so it can be overwhelming too. As I know for myself, this we've talked about it before, this chronic neuropathy and stenosis that I have that bring shooting nerve pain. As long as you kind of have the hope that there's a cure, you keep your hopes up. But at some point in there, I realized I'm going to have this for the rest of my life, and I'm not going to be able to keep up with everybody. And I think I could almost give you the date, and my corresponding heart went into depression from that.
Yeah, I think you said a very interesting thing, John. As long as hope is alive, then we can continue to move forward. But as soon as hope leaves, when hope, you know, packs up and goes home, that's right. when the darkness just really envelops us, that really overwhelms us. And we can't see beyond that. And really, that's what a person in a depressed state is actually feeling, just this sense of darkness that has covered his entire being. And there's no light, there's no ray of hope entering into that picture at all. And that is a very, very hard place to get out of.
Yes. And there's, as we said before, sometimes we in the faith community, we don't know what to do with a depressed person, and we try to give them all of these cheap, easy answers that don't help them, that don't help at all. So I give this list of words that are such a help for me to know and for all of us who are suffering from depression. Depression is not a personal flaw. It's not a character weakness. It's not spiritual immaturity. Depression is never a punishment from God. Depression is never a sin that God won't let you find. Depression is never because God doesn't love you enough. And depression is never because you are not enough. And just those thoughts for me alone, when I can feel like, oh, God, where did you go? Why won't you let up? All those truths that we just gave are an incredible hope for people who feel compounded onto their maybe chemical issue is this faith issue of how am I viewed by God when I'm in this place?
Yeah, that is a big question that so many people ask. I know when I was in college, starting my sophomore year at the University of Georgia, things started going south for me. I became very pessimistic and indifferent about life. I really felt like I was just floating, just, you know, had lost any stability, any anchoring to anything of importance or significance. So I was just drifting. And a lot of that was amplified through my own feelings of guilt and worthlessness. You know, I was trying to be God's guy and wasn't doing a very good job with that. And I really lost hope. And I went into this funk, and it felt like God was a million miles away. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know how to move forward in that situation. And it wasn't until the gospel message really, or a teacher, a very skilled and gifted teacher, started to explain the gospel message in such a way that it addressed my own sense of pessimism, my own indifference, my own... I'd come to that point, as Solomon did in Ecclesiastes, that everything is just meaningless. And when he started addressing, skillfully addressing those particular issues, questions started to get answered. And finally, hope got reinserted into my life. And, you know, when he said, God has forgiven all of your sins, boy, talk about a burden lifted. And those 3 years of just a downward path, a downward spiral for me, just stopped. It just absolutely stopped by the power of the gospel. And I think that's why it's so important for us to be able to address these issues, not to be afraid of these issues, but to recognize that the gospel does have a relevant answer. the gospel does speak into those things. You know, I don't think the word depressed or depression is in the Bible. You're not going to find it, but you'll certainly find all the ingredients in the Bible spoken of in the Bible that make up the cake called depression.
Yeah. All you have to do is go through the Psalms and you see a man who is prone to depression. He'll cry out and call out. So I love what you're saying, Bob, because that concept that not only am I forgiven to get to heaven, but that I am adored now, known now, have purpose now, that I'm not a mistake, that he actually wanted there to be a me on this planet at this exact time, and that he is not ashamed or frustrated or thinking that I'm behind or wanting me to get on with it and pick it up. But instead he says, even in this condition, I can walk this slow and I can use your life in profound, meaningful ways. And I would say these 7 years of battling with this chronic pain, people are telling me, John, you have more to say to me now than you did 7 years ago. God is using you in a different way because there's a compassion, there's a clarity, and there's a presence in your heart that couldn't be revealed in the same way. And so it's even in the midst of this cloak of darkness, we get that incredible hope that God's saying, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm not making any mistakes. John, I have your life perfectly planned out what's going in front of you. And then when I look at this verse in Peter where it says, after you've suffered for a little while, and not that I'm creating suffering to try to teach you something, but there is suffering and it is just a little while. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, he will himself, not his angels or anyone else, will perfect and confirm and strengthen and establish you. Whatever that means, even in the midst of a propensity to depression, oh, what a promise that is for me every single day of my life.
So deeply profound.
Yeah, that was powerful, powerful.
Like you said, it's one of those hopeful passages. And boy, somebody that is suffering some depression, that is down in that pit, what they need more than anything is hope. And that's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is such a relevant message for those who are down in that pit. And so, John, thank you for those wonderful words, Bob.
Our guest today, of course, on Basic Gospel is our friend John Lynch of True Face and author of The Cure. And we're going to be back with our conversation with John in just a moment. But, friends, I want to remind you once again that Richard and Bob have a CD called The Breakout. It's a message to encourage you to respond to the eternal truths of the New Covenant and experience thanksgiving, contentment, and love in Jesus Christ. The Breakout is yours this month with your gift to Basic Gospel to help us meet our fiscal year-end budget. The budget, $280,000 is what we need to meet that as we approach the end of that fiscal year, June 30th. So just click that prominent link at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or again at basicgospel.net. Now, John, we've mentioned that you are the author of the book, The Cure. Tell our listeners where they can get a copy.
Yes. Right now, it might be best to go to our website.
Not the $87 version.
No, you can get it on Amazon right now, a special for you, $87. We're in the middle of a glitch for the next couple of weeks on Amazon. But if you came to our webpage even right now, trueface.org, TRUEFACE.org, we can get you one for $8 or $9. It might be a little bit better than the $87 one. That's
great discount. Yeah.
And listeners can go to our website as well at basicgospel.net. We have all of John's books available, so that's a good way as well. So either trueface.org or basicgospel.net. Well, let's continue.
You guys, all these books that we write, Bill Thrall and Bruce McNichol I think sometimes they're Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm the eye candy, so that's it. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. And it's nice to have eye candy on a radio broadcast. We need that. So.
Yeah. Certainly none of us are.
Yeah,
that's the best way for yourself.
That's exactly
those of you have seen me.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about depression today, and as I said at the top of the hour, almost 7% of the American population suffer from depression. Over 40 million Americans suffer from some type of anxiety disorder. And some of the characteristics of both of those, prolonged sadness or unexplained crying spells, significant changes in appetite or sleep patterns, irritability, anger, worry, agitation, pessimism, indifference, loss of energy, feelings of guilt, inability to concentrate or indecisiveness, inability to take pleasure in former interests, social withdrawal, unexplained aches and pains, recurring thoughts of death, or suicide. So those are just a few of the symptoms of this thing called depression. And certainly the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, speaks into those very characteristics, those various symptoms. And that's what we want to speak to today. One of the things that is most prominent, I think, within a depressed soul are these feelings of guilt or worthlessness. And I know that's what I felt. That was probably the predominant feeling that I had during my time in college. I've wrestled with that through the years. And I know those that I have talked to who suffer from depression, that's prevalent. That's the predominant feeling that they're experiencing. And it's such an overwhelming feeling. God is a million miles apart, that he's so distant that there's no way that he can even get to them to help. So, John, how do we speak to that particular issue? What does the gospel say? How does the gospel draw us out of that, draw us near to God, or to give us hope that God is actually drawn near to us in Christ Jesus?
Well, you just said it so well. One of the saddest statistics that I've come upon is that 80% of all pastors struggle with depression. I thought, what a fascinating statement that is. I don't know if it draws such a person, but I think more than anything is that maybe somewhere around 80% of pastors don't know all of the good news. They are struggling themselves with not being enough, with feeling inadequate, that they never quite had a church as big as whoever, or that they haven't done what they should be doing. And for them to learn the original good news that says, I know you, I'm proud of you, I didn't make a mistake regarding of you, I'm not keeping score, you are enough, you are more than enough, you are right on time, I'm moving you at your exact pace, and I'm not disgusted with you or frustrated or angry, I'm delighted with you. It is so hard when a pastor sees people leaving their church or not being as big as Tim Keller or whatever that is, whatever measure of rule, it can make us feel unworthy, not enough, a disappointment to God. And he says, oh, child, that's why I went to the cross. That's why I was raised from the dead, is so that you would never, ever have to feel shame again. You have been given a shame-free identity, my child. You've been given a new Christ in you nature, totally fused with Jesus Christ. So you can never call yourself a loser, because he is the one who has chosen to add your name to the definition of who he is. So to start to believe those truths, as you beautifully said, Bob, it takes away that guilt that is like a heavy woolen coat that never seems to ever dry out. And so if we can be immersed in identity truths of who Jesus says I really am and who he is in me, That alone, I wonder what that statistic for pastors would be if that became the majority message in the church today. If those truths, I think those stats would go down to 15 or 20%.
Yeah,
and true
probably.
With all the people in their audiences. Yeah.
Well, that's why I think it's so important for us to encourage other pastors, ministry leaders, to really take a fresh look at what the grace of God is all about. What does it mean to be saved by grace? What does it mean to be sustained by grace? What does it mean to, you know, take your stand in the grace of God, to live in that realm 24/7, 365? Because
right.
I think so many pastors think they can move in and out of the grace of God. They don't realize that once they've been rescued, they've been put in that realm once and for all. They've been sanctified once and for all, set apart for God's use. It's just a glorious gospel message when we realize all that Christ has done and all that Christ is in us. And
I think we're afraid, Bob, that if I believe this grace, that I will try to get away with anything. And because we're not convinced that we're a new creature who doesn't want to get away with anything.
Right.
And so it is that powerful gift when someone realizes, oh, I won't take advantage of it because I don't want to take advantage of it because I'm a new creature. The only thing I take advantage of is law that makes me want to rebel. So when I'm taught law that inflames my flesh, yeah, I'll rebel. But if I'm encouraged in who I am, oh, all I want to do is obey from the heart. So I love what you just did a few minutes ago, Bob. You gave freedom to captives because you said, hey, I was someone who struggled with this, and I can still struggle with this. And for me to be able to say, no, this is not something in the past when I was not as mature. This is real tense now.
Yes.
We have to tell that to each other because so many of our people are convinced there is something particularly and uniquely wrong about them, which is shame. And so it's so for us to be able to say, no, it's okay, you guys. David struggled with this. John Lynch struggles with, Bob Christopher struggles with this, and that I'm in good company when Handel and Martin Luther and a few others like C.S. Lewis, when I realize, you too, huh?
Yeah, okay. That's exactly right. And it's no wonder the Word of God we see, you know, so often the phrase, fear not, be anxious for nothing.
That's right.
Why? Because God recognizes the weaknesses of our, you know, our flesh. He recognizes us just as who we are, human beings. And so he knows that we're going to go through that, and yet his love is still there.
And he anticipates and knows and actually says, watch what I'm going to do through it. I love 2 Corinthians 1 where he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort,
yes,
who comforts us in every single one of our afflictions, like, for example, depression, so that we'll be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God. What a beautiful promise.
Yes,
that
indeed.
He's not ashamed. He's not frustrated. In fact, he says, I'll even use you in a profound way to give the comfort that you're being comforted with to others.
Well, that's a powerful verse. And John, we're out of time on this edition of
Too
Basic
bad,
Gospel.
Yeah.
As always, thank you so much for joining us. We love what you bring to the table. You know, there's this gospel and so many people teach it and it's just a skeleton. And, you know, somebody like you, you've been through experiences and you're putting the flesh and blood to it in such a way that it connects. And thank you for making that connection today with our audience. And God bless you for being here, my friend.
Yes,
guys,
indeed.
Absolute privilege. I would say what you just said, to stand in giving to this ministry, because you guys are offering that flesh and blood gospel.
Thank you so
Jesus
much,
John.
Christ. We are out of time, but what a great, great program, guys. Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.